Hey, I'm Cody from Unqualified Gamers, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Agent Haley.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe podcast. This is podcast number 94 on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Season 3, Episode 3, A Wanted in Hillmon. This podcast is recorded on Wednesday, October 14th, 2015. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agent Carter, Marvel's Daredevil on Netflix, and the general Marvel Comic Universe.
Because of British subtitles.
If you want to talk to us about worthless foreign subtitles, British subtitles, you can contact us on our website, legendsofshield.com.
We also have a voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
We have a Facebook page. Go search for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast.
We're also on Twitter, where we're at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
We have a Tumblr page, which is legendsofshield.tumblr.com.
On YouTube, we're Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And guess what? We still have those forms. That's forms.gunnageek.com or search on your Tappa Talk app for Gunna Geek.
Woot.
No Tappa?
Tap-tap-tap-tap-tap-talk.
Tap-tap-talk. This time on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to give away our Angry Groot. We're going to start another giveaway because we have a ton of them. We're going to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., A Wanted in Hillmon. We have so much comic book news that it's going to blow your mind. We have the weekly Marvel news and your feedback. First of all, we have an Angry Groot to give away. Lauren has it. She wanted to be here. She can't be here tonight because of reasons. And we're just going to give this sucker away without her, aren't we, Haley?
That's right. That's how we do.
All right. So we had at least three entries. Willie Nelson, you heard his voicemail last time. We had a couple of tweets. One was a Destroyer hand and one was an Iron Man hand. Of course, Willie's was the Captain America hand. There's your Angry Groot, a con exclusive. Which con was that again? It was Dallas or...
That one was Dallas Comic Con.
Dallas Comic Con. There you go. So, Haley, since Lauren's not here, it's up to you. A lot of pressure. Who are we going to give this away to?
Since Coulson is such a Cap fanboy, I think it has to be the Captain America shield hand.
I think so, yeah. I think my talk last time about the rotor, what did you call it? The sawzall or whatever?
The buzzsaw arm?
The buzzsaw arm. So, Willie, congratulations. Send me your address and we will get you your Angry Groot. In the meantime, Haley, what do we got else to give away?
Well, the mysterious benefactor of the podcast has another Marvel crate for us to give away. And this one, the theme was Secret Wars. So it's got a couple of cool Funkos in there, as we've come to expect. And each one comes with a little patch and a pin. In fact, I think I've got the pin right here.
Ooh. You know what we're going to have to do next week is I have a box for myself that I have not opened yet. So guess what? Next week, during the podcast, we're going to do a live unboxing. And there's the patch and the pin. Yes, Marvel Collector Corps, there has been a different patch in each separate box. I've got all my patches up on the hutch behind the monitors. They're hanging out with Fury's toolbox, so it's all good.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see what kind of Pop Funko I have in there. It's going to be fun. So anyway, what are we going to do to give this sucker away, Haley?
What could we do? What would make a good Marvel crate for them to do next time? Like, what's a good Marvel theme crate?
Good Marvel theme crate for the holidays?
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. So we're going to ask you, and the funnier you make it, of course, the better off is going to be. So go ahead, let us know, tweet us, Facebook us, send us a voicemail line. That's 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. And let us know what you want to make the next Marvel Crate. All right. There was something going on last night. I'm just trying to remember. What was it,
New
Haley?
New episode of The Flash. That's what went on last night.
Oh. You know, I haven't seen the premiere episode yet, so no spoilers. Sorry.
Bad geek.
I know. And that's because I was freaking launching a new podcast. Did you hear about this?
No. What's going on?
Okay. So, I would assume the voiceover talent would actually know about this. But anyway.
Talent's an awfully big word.
What we did is we carved out the comic book segments that we've been doing, that Lauren's been doing, that Adam's been doing, that Neil's been doing, and we threw them into a micro podcast, and it's out there. It's called Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition. It's on iTunes now, believe it or not. I have so much pull that I threw it over to iTunes, and within 20 minutes, they sent it back, said, approved! I was like, oh my gosh, this never happens. So, go check that out.
We're kind of a big deal.
Just a little bit. So, what is going to happen is we're going to take that same segment and we're just going to throw it over there in the new podcast. So if you're listening to it here, you're getting it all. But if you just want to hear the rockin' tones and the comic book news, you can go check that out. That's Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition. And you may or may not be familiar with the voiceover talent for the intro, outro. I don't know. So in the meantime, I was not able to watch Flash because of that, and I did watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last night.
It's pretty good.
Just a little bit. I actually really liked it. It was great. Lots of change going on in the universe. They're not sitting still at all. They're just going for it. It doesn't matter. There's something happening. You remember those season one Monster of the Week episodes?
Barely.
Yeah, we never get those anymore. This was awesome. So, the episode was directed by Gary A. Brown, and it was written by Monica Ousa-Breen, they're both listed as co-executive producers of the show. Now, Monica, this is her seventh written episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Gary Brown has had extensive experience as well. So, they're bringing their A game this season. This is the third episode with real serious talent at the front end, and they are definitely doing good.
Yep. I don't think we're going to get Monster of the Week episodes again. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen either, but, well, we're going to get monsters. We just won't get Monsters of the Week.
Or if we do, it's going to tie into the larger story.
Right. So, lots of stuff going on here. Which storyline do you want to start on?
We should start with my favorite part, because it's just a little bit. But Mac and Sky playing video games on the couch at the end.
Yeah, I mean, he's got some issues with Inhumans, right? But he's learning to live with it. But that scene struck me a little bit odd, because the whole thing with she kissed Lincoln. She kissed Lincoln. Ooh, they're a thing.
Always a love story.
Yeah, always a love. Okay, so they're doing whatever in a relationship. And he ran away again because he had to. She was betrayed by Coulson. He was betrayed by Coulson. So, if I'm Daisy right now, I'm not loving life. I know Coulson said, look, you know, I had to do it. I was protecting you, whatever. But he could have done something better. He did not have to do it that way.
He's acting a little furious-ish.
A little bit, right? Now, the world is changing around him, and he's trying to do the best with what he can. He knows that there's a lot going on. I think his mind turned when he saw Rosalind go out to the public. Law enforcement officials were one thing, but when she went out with to the public with Lincoln, he was like, oh crap, they have that footage of Daisy. I have to protect her. So I think that's what changed his mind all along.
Yeah, he's going to protect her any way he can.
Right. So we will see what happens with that in the long term. She still holds that ace card over him. So is this a case of keep your friends close and your enemies closer?
That's part of it. And he also said, I'm done fighting with people over who gets to fight the real fight. So the end goal is to get these people away from civilians. His goal is to get them trained so they can control their powers. Hers is probably a little more malicious than that. But at the end, they've got to get them off the streets where they can hurt people.
Yes.
So for now, they're going to work together to do that until he finds out what they're doing with the ones they capture.
Mm-hmm. It was a necessary evil, I think. He doesn't have the resources to fight her anymore. He doesn't have the taps into the governmental computers, and she's more connected than he could ever be. And they're still dealing with stuff from the universe, right? I mean, Sokova a city crashed from the sky. Yeah. So it's like, let bygones be bygones and let's get something done.
You know what I thought was funny is he said, I will devote all of the resources and manpower of S.H.I.E.L.D. to crushing your agency. And I was like, you know, that's not the threat it used to be.
Okay. Question. Where's he getting his money from?
Lincoln is like busting ATMs open for him, sending him some cash.
I thought he was doing that just to disable the camera, but I thought, no. And then he offers all that cash to
he's got cash now.
A friend who he ends up killing.
Is an accident. No, yeah. I thought what they were going to do is show that S.H.I.E.L.D. was watching him through the camera on the ATM.
Yeah.
But no, he just took the cash.
He took the cash. And do you think he's an alcoholic? Do you think that was an AA sponsor? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what they were playing.
I mean, if you could electrify anything around you, I'd probably drink too. Like, this is so weird, hazard. Man. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go to the science babies. Lauren's not here. Let's all say it.
Science babies! I had two science babies exclamation points in my notes. I don't know how many she would have had.
Probably a lot.
But that's what I had. Yeah.
They go out to dinner. She falls apart. And then she comes home. She has to go back. Why does she have to go back? What is there?
She wasn't alone there. I think that's what we're going to find out. So I think there was an enemy and a friend there.
Ooh, a lover maybe?
I don't think a lover, but an ally.
Mm.
Somebody else was there.
I think it was a lover. I think she's torn. I think she wants this new guy.
Poor Fitz.
I know. It's always a love story, but it's never Fitz and Simmons.
Oh, don't say that. You're going to make Lauren cry.
I know. Okay, so what's up with Bobby? She's rehabbing. She seriously just wants to get back out on the field, right?
Right. Also, they need to do a little work with that brace because it wasn't like actually on her leg like it should have been. It was awfully loose for a knee brace.
Hmm.
I thought. That was the note I had. Like, come on, guys. We can do better than that.
She just could have been like, come on, guys. This isn't comfortable. Let me
just loosen this up a little.
Could have been. You never know. So then we've got Hunter and May. So.
And Agron.
Agron?
Yes.
Agron.
That's the guy from Spartacus who played Agron.
Oh, okay.
Spud.
So I was thinking they wanted to hide May, but then she goes and she kicks those three guys all over the place. So obviously she's calling attention to herself.
No, she took them to a separate room. So it was just the four of them in that room. And then she was like, and I'm going to do you a favor and not tell everyone that you got beat up by a tiny Asian woman. And they're not going to tell anybody.
No, they are. I think that that's going to get out and that's going to get to Ward. See, what they're trying to do is they're trying to lure Ward to them.
Right. I don't know. I don't think that was what was going on. She was taking them somewhere else so she wouldn't make a scene in front of witnesses.
Okay. I disagree with that. I think that it was a dedicated plan for them to have Ward come back and focus on May. He wants to take May out. He wants to take Hunter out. So he's coming back specifically for May.
I disagree. We're just going to have to agree to disagree.
All right.
I think the end plan is to have Hunter work his way up. See, Cajun Sean agrees with me. He knows what's up.
I don't think it's a secret. Because if not, why would she even do it? She would have avoided it. She wouldn't have gone to the separate room.
No, because there was going to be a scene there no matter what. And if there's a scene in front of a bunch of people, then Ward could get out about it. Whereas if she takes him to a back room and kicks the crap out of him, they're not going to be like, oh yeah, that tiny Asian chick just kicked the crap out of us.
All right. Well, it happened and it's known to at least those three people. So Word's going to get around. They're going to figure out what's going on. All right. What else you got for this episode?
It's true. I don't like a lot of talking.
That's true. Oh, and the bet on Andrew.
Of course they're betting on that.
Well, right. But do you believe her? Do you believe May when she said that Andrew left?
Right. Because I think they might have discussed it before. Maybe we just inferred it. But she pulled away after Bahrain.
Yeah.
And that's what made him leave.
So he left. I think she left.
Yeah. I think she got emotionally isolated and he's the one that actually left.
Hmm. But the second time?
The second time, I think that was just vacation fun.
But she's claiming that Andrew left the second time.
Oh, I thought they were talking about the first time.
No, I think they were talking about Maui. What screwed up in Maui?
I don't know. He was going to go back to work for S.H.I.E.L.D. and she didn't plan on doing that at the time.
Hmm. Do you think that, we talked about this last week, but it's bugging me. Do you think that the hit on her dad was intentional?
No, I think it was an accident. I think if it was intentional, he would be dead.
All right. So Coulson meets with Rosalind up the beach, and she's definitely got Coulson's attention with her wheels, which is a him. So my question is, what is the name of Rosalind's wheels?
Lawrence.
I'm going to go with Rodimus Prime.
Do you think they're going to build up a relationship between Coulson and Rosalind?
Oh, absolutely. With dual flying cards? Because you know that thing that she's got flies too.
I don't think it does. I don't think she's got the cool shield car. She's got government issue.
She's got all that technology from DARPA, from NASA, from the military space program, from everything else that CIA. Of course she's got a car that flies. It's not an unknown thing in their universe. I mean, heck, you go back to Stark Sr. at the Stark World Fair or whatever it was. I mean, it's not unknown technology.
Well, yeah.
Cajun Sean, Luke. Her car's name is Luke. Luke and Lola. All right. I could see the cars going offline together. Yeah. Like all chitty chitty bang bang style. Uh-huh.
Oh, we do have to discuss that Lincoln's shirt allergy finally kicked in this week. And apparently it's contagious. Hunter and Agron caught it.
Yeah, so why did Daisy tell him he was being tracked? I mean, come on.
That was stupid. They should have had a team in place, and then she calls and tries to get him to come in on his own. And then if he doesn't, you know, the team's already there and they can take him in.
I know. It's just not smart, Daisy. Not smart. Did Coulson actually call her Daisy without trouble this episode? Did that whole Skype thing?
I think so. I don't remember any slips except from Simmons, and that's just because she's been gone for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of which, why didn't she have to go through quarantine?
That, they just said she didn't. But why?
Yeah. Yeah, that made no sense.
Yeah, she should have.
You don't know where she's been, what she's been exposed to.
That shower scene was just so, it's like, oh.
Every scene with her was like that. It's just like, she's obviously not adjusting back to this place yet. Just every sound, every light is a problem.
Do you think it's hypersensitivity, or do you think it's all because of the difference in the atmospheres and her malnutrition and stuff?
Yeah, I think it's some PTSD. Some hypersensitivity because she's been isolated for so long. And then, you know, probably some physical stuff from malnutrition and exposure and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say this is a setup episode, but there was enough fighting. I mean, you had May's fight, you had Hunter's fight, you had the cool special effects from Lincoln, you had just different things going on. I don't think this is a setup episode at all. I think this is a continuation. Was it as good as the first two? Probably not, but...
No, I think it's just going to build this season, though. We're building towards something. We don't have any straight setup episodes or standalone episodes, really. It's all just a story that's building as the season goes along.
Which will be great. Did we talk about this before? Where do we see this show at the mid-season finale? So the Christmas break, where do you think they're going to end in December?
Maybe a showdown between S.H.I.E.L.D. and Atku.
Hmm.
Maybe a prison break if Atku has Inhumans in custody and Sky will have her super team together by then.
She did mention that they wanted to capture the Inhumans, but she said that we're not going to go all Hydra. And then Coulson said yet. And then she didn't say anything about that. So morals are a bit sticky in this.
Actually, now I'm thinking back to the first episode. They showed her, they had a lab with some Inhuman bodies in it. But I wonder if those are the bodies they recovered after that other thing got to them.
Yeah, that's absolutely Lash.
Lash, yes.
After Lash got to him, yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I think that they are definitely not going to blow up the bus again. That's not going to happen. They're going to keep this new toy, and they're going to build on the sets on them. So we haven't seen everything in the bus. All we've seen is the cargo hold, which is basically the cargo hold of the old one, just revamped. But we're going to get to see more and more on the inside of the Zephyr 1. We're going to see more and more about this relationship with Aku and S.H.I.E.L.D. And mind you, this is all building up to Civil War. I do not think that this is going to be disassociated with Civil War at all. I think we're going to get a season one style bang right into it with the Winter Soldier. I think Civil War is going to be very similar. And so keep your eyes on what's going on with that, with maybe a reference to Spider-Man coming here and there, or definitely more Inhumans evolving. It's going to be a good ride.
Well, and maybe that's somewhere we'll be at the mid-season is, okay, we'll let these Inhumans that we've taken into custody out, but we've got to have them registered, and so we know where they are and what they can do.
Yeah, it's going to be a registration thing, and I still think that there's going to be members on the team alone that are both ways, especially with the Inhumans, right? So you're going to have people that think registration is a good deal and people that don't, just the way we had the split in the Shields last season as well.
Well, last season, we had Simmons and we had Mac both clearly kind of anti-Inhumans. So I could see them being on the side of registration.
Mm-hmm.
As of last season, they would have been. I don't know. We'll have to see where they are by the end of this season.
Things could change. Hey, Haley.
Yes.
Eyes up here. Coulson looking at the car.
I love my car, but it's just a car. And it's a him.
It's a him. Do you have anything else for this episode? Do you have some quotes this week?
I do have some quotes. I'm looking to see if I have anything else first, though.
Okay. You always look for the notes first.
Yep. I don't think I do.
Anybody in the chat have anything we haven't covered yet? And remember, after the credits, we will open up the seat and you guys can pop on in and you can talk to Haley and I all you want about Marvel and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He didn't disappear. Unless he did. He can't do that, can he?
Cajun Shaw brought up all the hand jokes that Rosalind was making.
Those are next. Last time we met, you disarmed me with your evasive tactic. No, I gotta hand it to you. It makes me wonder what else you've got up your sleeve.
too soon? Yeah. Oh, sorry.
People must do that all the time. It's kind of recent.
That was a good interaction between the two. Every interaction that they've had has been meaningful. It's been fun. It's been witty. It's been bannery. But they've had purpose. So it's been great seeing those two get along. Anything else, Haley?
Nope. That's it.
All right. We definitely have season 3, episode 4 coming at you next week. Hopefully, Lauren will be back indeed. It's taken a little bit longer than we thought to get back from the Phantom Zone. So hang in there. We're going to see her next week. In the meantime, we have a full show coming at you as well. But before we get to that, I want to mention that we are full into the comic book fall schedule. Unfortunately, there's no sci-fi shows on right now, but there's plenty of comic book shows, including The Flash. So, Haley, do you know anything where people could find a podcast about The Flash?
Yeah, I do a little show called Crimson Comet, which they name-checked this week on the show, BT Dubs. We've got our season 2 premiere episode out now, and by the time this episode is out on the feed, you'll probably be able to get episode 2 discussion as well.
Yeah, there you go.
So check that out.
Lots of great stuff on the Crimson Comet. All right, you ready to get some comic book news in?
Let's get it.
We have a full comic book store for you today. And before I start, I just want to mention again, you can find these segments on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition podcast. And also, I just want to mention as well, if you have interest in any of the Star Wars comics, you can definitely start a Star Wars segment as well. We are interested in that. So in the meantime, we have Black Adam back with his S.H.I.E.L.D. mission report.
This is Consultant Black Adam, and this week I'm starting a new run of Mission Reports, delving into the S.H.I.E.L.D. archives to look at the Secret Warriors series, starting with Secret Warriors number 1. This issue was originally published February 4th, 2009, and was the first issue of the Nick Fury Agent of Nothing arc. This issue was written by Brian Michael Bendis and Jonathan Hickman, with art by Stefano Caselli. The series started shortly after the Secret Invasion event. In the aftermath of the Skrull invasion, S.H.I.E.L.D. was dismantled and replaced with Hammer, an organization led by reformed supervillain Norman Osborn. This issue opens with Quake and her team on a reconnaissance mission at a former S.H.I.E.L.D. storage facility. When the facility is attacked by Hydra, they break cover to defend the base, only to get caught between Hydra and Hammer. When they return to their home base, Quake discusses the mission with Fury and learns that Fury broke into the Oval Office to inform the president of the S.H.I.E.L.D. Black Sites 2 days ago. This confirms Fury's theory that Hydra had deeply infiltrated both the government and S.H.I.E.L.D. This first issue also contains supplemental material about both Hydra and Fury's organization. I'll be back next week for my mission report on Secret Warriors number 2.
Woohoo! Thank you, Adam. Delving into the archives to pick out some. And, ooh, Hammer? I didn't know Norman Osborn was in charge of Hammer. That was knowledge to me. All right.
I think we told you this last time.
Come on. All right. Sorry. You probably did. All right. Thank you very much, Adam. He will be coming back at us on the off weeks with Archived Edition. It is great. Lauren is away. She wasn't able to get the X comics to us this week. We're looking forward to hearing back from her next week. However, we have a super big edition of Neil's Mighty Marvel Moment.
Hi Agents, Neil here with your Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition Marvel Moment, covering the new releases from October 7th, 2015. This week, it's the moment we've all been waiting for. With Secret Wars continuing to wind down, this week we get the first titles from the all-new, all-different, relaunched Marvel Universe. There's a ton of new teams, new titles, new characters, and brand new storylines, and I'm going to do my best to keep it all straight for you. So what are we waiting for? Let's get into it. Okay, this week, let's start off with the remaining Secret Wars titles. First up is Secret Wars number 6. God Emperor Doom is facing an uprising on Battleworld led by the mysterious Prophet, and he turns to some of the nastier barons, including Mr. Sinister, Apocalypse, and the Maestro, to deal with the dissent. Meanwhile, Peter Parker and Miles Morales team up to discover the source of Doom's power, and T'Challa and the Submariner go on a mission to discover what Sheriff Stephen Strange bequeathed them with his dying breath. There's a lot going on here, and it feels like we're definitely building up to a crescendo in the coming issues. 1602, Witch Hunter Angela number 4, ends the Secret War series with the final showdown between Angela and the Enchantress. Writers Marguerite Bennett and Kieran Gillen wrap up this beautiful story, which in the end focuses on Angela and Sarah's relationship and what they truly mean to each other. And oh yeah, the art by Cody Chamberlain and Stephanie Hans was simply amazing. As is usual with an Angela book, I was reminded of Xena Warrior Princess a lot. So if you're a Xena fan or want to see how the Shakespearean Marvel mashup turns out, then definitely pick this one up. Old Man Logan number 5 completes another Secret War series, and all I kept thinking as I read this book was how amazing the art was. Andrea Sorrentino delivers beautiful full-page spreads and splash pages that define the feel of this book, perfectly capturing the raw emotion and desperation of Logan. Despite the fact that there isn't any action to speak of in this issue, Brian Michael Bendis sets up Logan's place in the broader Secret Wars universe, and I'm gonna go out on a limb and say this isn't the last we've seen of Old Man Logan. For all these reasons and more, Old Man Logan number 5 is my pick of the week. Spider Island number 5 also completes the Secret Wars series with the epic final battle between Flash Thompson in the Venom symbiote suit and his band of monster allies against the Spider Queen. The action is pretty intense in this issue, and the ending is definitely bittersweet. The characterization of Spidey, as well as some of the supporting characters in this issue, is spot on, and I have to say that this issue is probably the strongest of the series' short run. And finally, Battleworld Siege number 4 ends yet another Secret War series, and this final issue had a lot of heart. Quite a few characters in not only the preceding issues, but in other Secret Wars titles have given their lives in the defense of the Shield Wall, and this issue brings it all home. As well, it was great to see how Ben Grimm was literally worked in as a critical part of the story. Okay, that's it for Secret Wars this week, so let's dive into the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe. Let's begin with two books that set the stage for the new Marvel Universe. First up is Avengers Issue 0. Now, if you're relatively new to comics, Zero issues are usually lead-ins to a new series, designed to bring you up to speed so that the writers can jump right into a storyline in Issue 1. This issue holds true to that formula, but does so in a unique format, focusing on the newly reformed Squadron Supreme. The overarching narration is told from the perspective of Nighthawk telling the rest of the squadron who the major superpowered players are in the world, and as such, we're treated to a short story centered on each Avengers title. The issue begins with a lead-in to the all-new, all-different Avengers, focusing on the changes we're going to see to the Vision in the coming issues. Vision is a character with a ton of history, and while the writers go a long way to acknowledge it, they also make a pretty sharp turn in the development of this character. Next, we get an introduction to A-Force, led by Captain Marvel, in planetary orbit aboard the Alpha Flight satellite, which lays out how A-Force is going to be solely focused on protecting Earth against cosmic forces. From there, we change directions again and focus on the new Avengers, in a story that is centered on the new big bad for that series. While the choice of villain is pretty awesome, and delivers a decent spoiler on how certain things could end in Secret Wars, this is the Avengers title that I'm least excited about. After that, the story shifts to the Uncanny Avengers, a team that will combine superpowered humans, mutants, and Inhumans under the direction of a still old Steve Rogers. This story focuses on Deadpool, and believe it or not, the ending was pretty moving. Lastly, we head back into space for The Ultimates, a new Avengers-associated title combining Black Panther, Monica Rambeau, aka Spectrum, the Blue Marvel, American Chavez, aka Ms. America, and Carol Danvers again. This story centered almost entirely on America Chavez, setting up her motivations for joining the team, and it's pretty awesome. And let's not forget the overarching Squadron Supreme storyline, which introduces the newly reformed Squadron and illustrates that at least some of the heroes know that the universe is now an amalgam of those which came before it. Phew. Okay, next up is All New, All Different Point One. This book is very similar to Avengers Issue Zero in that it's a collection of different stories told from the perspective of the Collector and the Maestro discussing how to pick teams in the new Contest of Champions comic. Ready? First up, we get a look at the new Carnage title, which looks like it's going to be focused on an elite military team trying to take down the Carnage symbiote, who is hiding in the general population and is on a murder streak. It reminds me of the old Hulk titles, where the army was trying to track down Banner, but it looks like there's going to be a dark, horror, and suspense feel to the book. From there, we take a lighter turn and focus on Rocket Raccoon and Groot. And this short story has everything you would expect from these two iconic characters as they try to hunt down a bounty during Halloween. As expected, hilarity ensues. Next, we join the team from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in two parallel stories as the crew have split up to go after both Baron Von Strucker and Bartok the Leaper. It was really great to see that Mockingbird and Deathlok appear to have also been added to regulars in this comic. This story also sets up a mysterious arc in the background, so if you're planning on collecting the new Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. title, this is kinda a must-read. After leaving Coulson and the gang, we focus on the all-new Inhumans, in a story which supports a concept introduced in the Uncanny Avengers, where clouds of Terrigen mists are everywhere in the atmosphere now. We get a look at how the Inhuman crystal deals with the emergence of a new Inhuman, and how it's received by the world at large. And lastly, we get a cool short story from the new Daredevil series, and an introduction to a brand new hero who will be joining Matt as a protege. Is it still okay to call them sidekicks? While we're at it, Contest of Champions number 1 also dropped this week, and it's a tie-in to the free-to-play mobile game of the same name that is actually now part of the broader Marvel continuity. This issue brings together lesser-known characters like Devil Dinosaur and the British Punisher with new characters like Guillotine, as well as well-known favorites like Iron Man and Gamora. The issue itself was a combination of a few smaller stories with different art styles, and as a result, it felt a bit choppy, but it gets a pass since it does tie in nicely with the all-new All Different Point One to set the stage for the rest of the series. Amazing Spider-Man number 1 also debuted this week, and it's another giant-sized issue that gives us the lowdown on all the spider goodness we can expect in the new Marvel Universe through a series of 6 short stories. First, we join writer Dan Slott as he moves Peter Parker into this new phase of the Marvel Universe with Parker Industries in The Amazing Spider-Man. This is probably the biggest change, as Peter has taken Parker Industries global and has incorporated some cool new tech into the standard Spidey routine. Right off the bat, the book deals with the comparisons to Tony Stark, and the action is non-stop. I'm really looking forward to this new series, and especially the villain that's teased at the end. Next, we zoom into the future to focus on Spider-Man 2099, as he struggles to find his own identity in the Marvel Universe. And it looks like the writers are setting this up as the obligatory character with the internal conflict and inner demons. One of the hottest new characters to emerge in the last couple years was Silk, and it's awesome to see that she still has her own book in the revamped Marvel Universe. I really dug the twist at the end of this story, and I'm not going to spoil it for you. Next up is Spider-Woman, and while I can't say that I was overly excited about the prospect of a pregnant Jessica Drew that was revealed in the summer previews, this short story goes a long way to easing my initial fears. The action is fun, the villains are still B-list, and it looks like it's going to introduce some interesting plot twists that we haven't seen in the Marvel comics in a very long time. The new title of Web Warriors continues from the Spider-Verse Secret Wars title as we get Spider-Gwen, Spider-Man Noir, Peter Porker, and the rest of their spider crew traveling across the multiverse trying to help the worlds that lost their Spider-Men in the original Spider-Verse event. This title seems quirky and fun, and I can't wait to see where this adventure goes. And finally, Amazing Spider-Man starring Miles Morales rounds out this giant-sized issue, and we're treated to the return of another great supervillain ripped from the pages of Secret Wars. In the panels leading up to the big reveal, I got a nasty feeling about who was behind this, and when the reveal came, I was seriously worried about how Miles is going to deal with what is inevitably to come. Also launching this week was the highly anticipated Doctor Strange number 1. But I'm not totally sold on the first issue. While there's a lot of interdimensional mysticism, as you would expect from a Doctor Strange book, the art seems slightly at odds with the tone of the book. Doctor Strange has rounded features in some frames and classic angular features in others, and I felt that the action in some panels was jumbled. As well, writer Jason Aaron seems to really be playing up that Steven is a ladies' man, who could believe that, and introducing odd bits of humor that don't really hit home, both of which detracted from the more serious parts of this book. But who am I kidding? I'm a Doctor Strange fan, so I'm going to hang in there for a few more issues at least. Jessica Jones number 1 is a tie-in to the upcoming Netflix series and pulls strongly from the Daredevil Netflix series to establish the world that Jessica inhabits. It's a great introduction to this character and sets up the general tone that this series is going to take. Michael Gatos' art really suits the story, which was penned by Brian Michael Bendis. Invincible Iron Man number 1 relaunches the Iron Man franchise with a bang, as we're treated to a Tony Stark that has more in common with the Marvel Cinematic Universe version of the character than with the arrogant and almost evil Tony that we got in Superior Iron Man and in Iron Wars. This is classic Iron Man, with phenomenal dialogue by writer Brian Michael Bendis and A-list art by David Marquez and Justin Ponsor. This issue really grabbed me, and it's definitely staying on the pull list. Guardians of the Galaxy number 1 marks the start of a new Guardians title as the companion comic to the Guardians of the Galaxy animated series on Disney XD. The art style is closely tied to the animated version, and the Guardians lineup matches both the movie and the animated series. It's a fun read, but personally, I'm more excited for the relaunch of the core Guardians series that was teased in the summer previews, which promises to mix up the roster quite a bit. Marvel Superhero Spectacular number 1 is another new title this week, and it marks the start of a new, standalone, family and kid-friendly series, and it includes the Avengers, Spidey, the Guardians of the Galaxy, as well as other Marvel favorites. There's a great overarching story about teamwork and trust in this issue, but while it won't appeal to readers looking for a gritty title that ties into the rest of the universe, the colors pop and it's definitely suitable for all ages. And finally, we have one continuing book from before the reboot of the Marvel Universe, Groot number 5, the penultimate issue in the ongoing Groot series, which finally finds Groot in the epic showdown against the bounty hunters as he prepares to rescue Rocket. This issue has a ton of heart and it shows through in every panel. We're one issue away from the end of the series, so if you haven't been keeping up with the adventures of Groot, you may want to hold off and pick up the trade when it comes out. And, oh yeah, did I mention this issue is full of baby Groot kicking butt? Phew, that's a lot of comics. I should mention that this week two What If titles also dropped. If you're not familiar with them, What If books allow writers to explore alternate realities and is actually how we ended up with the Secret Wars in the first place, as a lot of the alternate universes were folded into Battleworld. New this week were What If Infinity, Inhumans number 1, and What If Infinity, Thanos number 1. But unfortunately, I didn't get around to these titles, so drop us a line or head on over to the forums and tell me what I missed. That's it for new releases. Now let's crack open the Mylar and take a look at a classic back issue. This week's long box pick goes back to 1982 to Amazing Spider-Man issue 229 titled Nothing Can Stop the Juggernaut. This issue marked the first time that Spidey came face to face with this classic Marvel villain, and while a lot of the issue did seem to be exposition and setup, it was great to dive back into a simpler time when Peter was a grad student and still drop by the Daily Bugle to see if there are any photo opportunities. John Romita Jr.'s pencils define Spidey for a generation, and the art is clearly at home in the Bronze Age, with inks by Jim Mooney and colors by Glynis Wine being a perfect complement. Mainly, it was fun to watch Spidey try to figure out what he was up against and to figure out what, if anything, he could actually do. The story is concluded in issue number 230, so surf on over to Comixology or Marvel Unlimited, or head on down to your local comic shop and find out how it ends. Again, that's issue 229 of The Amazing Spider-Man from 1982, titled Nothing Can Stop the Juggernaut. That's it for new Marvel Comics for this week. If I've missed anything or you want to share your thoughts on a title, head on over to the forums or grab a phone and leave the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. crew a voicemail. Later, guys!
Oh my gosh, Neil. Whoa. Okay. So first of all, it's not Neil's fault that this awesome segment was so long. Marvel literally dropped like a ton of books this week. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, SP. I'm like, well, you got to do what you got to do. Okay. So let's talk about a little bit of everything that went down, right? So Secret Wars is ending, right?
Right.
And then you've got two books that were starting the new Marvel Universe, which was Avengers Issue 0 and the all-new, all-different Point 1, which had, I don't know, 10 or so books each. And then Marvel released some other books as well, like Contest of Champions, Amazing Spider-Man number 1, Doctor Strange number 1, Jessica Jones number 1, Guardians of the Galaxy number 1, yada, yada, yada. So it's not Neil's fault, but oh my gosh, it was so good. So good. Anyway. There you go. So thank you very much, Neil. If you want to hear these segments again, and if you want to hear only these segments again, once again, go over to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition. It is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. So there you go. Haley, do you have anything you want to say about all this awesomeness?
I need to read more comics. I need to get back on it.
So you're on 1972, right?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
71, 72, somewhere around there.
I'm trying to help you out because I remember talking about 70 and 71. I'm like, well, she's made it to 72 now, right?
I have not read a lot recently, so not so much.
I'm still not through the first Saga trade paperback, but I am getting closer.
I did finish Saga.
The whole thing?
All of it.
Man.
One might have come out since I finished. I should check
that. I'm not worthy. All right. Once again, if you're interested in Star Wars, go ahead, hit us up on that, and I would love to audition you. All right. You ready for some news, Haley?
Are you going to use a casting couch?
All right, so we had a lot of news drop this past week, too. It's like Marvel took the previous week off because they were all preparing their press releases for this week.
Right, well, New York Comic Con happened.
Oh, and then boom, there you go.
Yeah, so...
Okay, so Agent Carter Season 2, we have some new casting news.
Right, so we're going to see some people return. Those people being Dominic Cooper, who plays Howard Stark, and Bridget Regan, who played the Black Widow... Proto Black Widow, whose name I cannot remember for the life of me right now.
Yeah, I can't either. Is the real tall blonde or...
Dottie.
There we go.
This is why we do it live.
Podcasters do it live. All right.
We're also getting some new cast members.
Yeah.
Most of them, it hasn't been announced who they're going to be playing yet.
Yeah.
But we're getting Wynn Everett from The Newsroom, Lot Verbeek from The Fault in Our Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Curry Graham from Pompeii,
yeah.
And Reggie Austin from Devious Maids.
Okay. It's going to be fun. They still haven't put a time frame for the first episode, have they?
No, I'm imagining around the same time last year, which was beginning of January. You know, they took a few weeks off between the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the start of Agent Carter.
Right, because we thought we were going to actually get it during the holiday break, and it didn't happen. It happened like the week after, right?
Right. Actually, they do have announcements on who some of these people are going to be playing.
Oh, yeah?
So, Wynn Everett is playing Whitney Frost.
Okay.
Who becomes Madame Mask.
Ooh.
So, she's probably the big villain of the year, is my guess.
Nice.
She's at least a villain. She's an awesome villain.
She is.
Lot Verbeek is... Oh, she's the wife of Edwin Jarvis, Anna Jarvis.
Did we see
her? So, we're going to meet her?
We saw her last time, didn't we?
Nope. I don't think we've seen her yet.
They were just, it was talking and he had to run out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
It was mealtime. I remember that.
Yep. And then Curry Graham is going to play Calvin Chadwick, who is Whitney Frost's husband.
Okay.
And then Reggie Austin is playing Jason Wilkes, who's going to be a quirky and charismatic scientist.
It could be you. Could be Lauren.
We're waiting on the call any day now.
Marvel, once again, these ladies are available for your writing staffs. Okay. So that's pretty cool. And then, oh, by the way, we had a couple of small trailers drop, you know, from some no-name Netflix shows like Daredevil and Jessica Jones.
Right. So Season 2 Daredevil, we get to see Elektra and the Punisher and some other cool stuff going on.
Just a bit.
Just a little bit. And then in Jessica Jones, we get to see, we kind of see Purple Man. We mostly hear him.
Yeah, we really haven't seen it. But I can envision him, right? I hear his voice,
right.
And I envision it's going to be so cool when we finally see him.
It's a little bit longer than the other couple of teasers they've dropped so far, but it's still mostly just a teaser, just whetting the appetite.
It's just, I'm going to have to watch those again. It's just, oh, I can't wait. It's going to be a fun winter. All right. Sean's gal, I can't claim her. Sean has to claim her. Carrie Ann Moss is going to be in Jessica Jones.
Of Matrix fame. We finally know who she's going to be playing.
Who?
There was a character in the comics who was a man named Jaren Hogarth.
Okay.
She's going to be playing a gender-swapped version of that character.
Nice. I like the gender swapping. It gives more female strong characters in any series, really. Because, let's face it, a lot of this lore was written decades ago when it was more male-dominant. So, I'm all for something like this.
Right. So, Hogarth was the legal counsel for Danny Rand, aka Iron Fist,
nice.
And a business manager and part owner of Heroes for Hire.
Awesome.
Yep.
I can't wait to see her. That it's just, she is, you know, we talk about the queens of sci-fi or the emperors of sci-fi or whatever. Carrie Ann Moss is definitely up there just because of the whole Matrix thing. It's just, she's definitely there.
Yeah.
All right. We have some more Jessica Jones casting news.
A little more casting. Will Travel. This is partially rumored. He's definitely going to be in the show. It appears now that he's going to be playing a character called Nuke.
Nuke. Like nuclear weapons nuke or?
Kind of.
Yeah.
He was created in post-Vietnam War. He was part of the post-Vietnam War super soldier program.
Oh, that makes sense.
So I don't know if that's exactly what they're going to do with him, but he has a giant American flag tattooed on his face. That's the look he's going with. Very subtle.
You got to like the face tattoos.
Yep. Never a bad decision.
Nope, not at all. All right. So what else we got for the Netflix stuff?
There's a little thing that you'll have to go find on your own, but somebody tricked, not really tricked, but kind of tricked Mike Coulter into saying Sweet Christmas, which is Luke Cage's, Luke Cage's catchphrase from the comics. Mike Coulter, who will be playing Luke Cage. But then there was a longer interview with him where he kind of discussed what the timeline of Luke Cage is going to be in relation to Jessica Jones.
Uh-huh.
It's going to take place several months after, and at the, spoilers, not really. At the end of Jessica Jones, Luke Cage is going to leave Hell's Kitchen and go to Harlem. So we'll get to see a little bit more of New York.
All right. Maybe a little bit more of New York will remain undestroyed because even Daredevil kind of tore it up a bit with all those bombs.
I mean, last time we were in Harlem with the Marvel Universe was when the Hulk and the Abomination had a big street battle.
Yeah, just a small one.
We'll see what kind of shape it's in when we get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully, though, we'll have a little bit of rehab going on. Heck, between Manhattan, between Harlem and Hell's Kitchen, it's been a ride over there. Absolutely. All right. Is that it for the Netflix stuff?
That's it for Netflix news this week.
All right. Let's get to the big news. The MCU. What do we got?
Right. So the biggest announcement since last we recorded is that Marvel has shaken up their schedule a little bit.
Shake it up, baby.
So they added Ant-Man and the Wasp.
All right.
That movie will be coming out July 6th, 2018.
Okay.
So the announcement of that movie shifted the release dates for Black Panther and Captain Marvel. Black Panther will now be coming out on February 16th, 2018. And Captain Marvel got pushed back again to March 8th, 2019.
I don't mind the Black Panther being moved up. But
pushing back Captain Marvel again.
Feige, come on. Because you know at this point, it is Feige. It is nobody else. Feige is in firm control. Kevin, do I have to come down there and slap you inside the head?
The world is not clamoring for this Ant-Man and the Wasp sequel.
No, it is not. It is not.
It did okay at the box office, but it did not just like blow things out of the water.
Well, I think this is them trying to bring the Wasp character into the MCU. And it's an existing female character, and they're trying to... I'm just scratching at straws. I mean, come on, Kevin.
You can bring her in Civil War. Everyone else is going to be there. Why not her?
Everybody.
Except Carol Danvers. Oh, yeah. The Hulk might be in Thor Ragnarok, though.
That's true. We have that news. It's a little rumor.
Another rumor before we get too far away from the schedule, though, is that Inhumans is going to be canceled. This is straight up rumor. The internet is a clamor with it, though, so we have to talk about it for a minute. As far as we know, though, officially, the Inhumans date just hasn't changed, which it would mean it was still coming out July 12th, 2019, which is after Avengers Infinity War Part 2.
If it is canceled, if they bring that storyline to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which it's kind of there now anyway, that would be good, but you're just not going to see the big budget film version of Inhumans.
Right. And now some of the support for this rumor is that the Inhumans was Perlmutter's baby, and with the shakeup, Perlmutter is no longer part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He's just in charge of the TV stuff now. So that storyline might get moved over to the TV where he can still work on it.
Yeah, we'll see. It's just up in the air right now. But the Captain Marvel thing, that pisses me off. It could be a casting thing, right? It could be like they can't find the right person.
There are so many good names out there, though. James Gunn even threw out that He thought there were a lot of good names out there, and he had a top choice, but he wasn't going to say what it was. And yeah. I'm curious as to what he thinks the great choice would
be. Okay, so you're James Gunn. You're basically one of the heirs apparent to the great Marvel dynasty right now. You're not going to undercut yourself by saying, I want somebody that Marvel doesn't pick eventually. So, I'll respect his choice to not give that, but...
The names on my list right now, Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah. I still think she'll be too old, definitely by the time this airs.
Yeah, if they keep moving it back every year.
Yeah.
Natalie Dormer and Charlize Theron.
See,
after seeing Fury Road.
Yeah, I think that Natalie might be a little too old and not actiony enough, but you know, whatever. Whatevs. I've seen female Air Force captains. They're generally young. I mean, even Amanda Tapping was kind of young in Stargate, and she was a captain
I thought she was old to be a captain in Stargate. Well, which is why they promoted her to a major.
Okay, so ranks in the armed services, captain is like an 03.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a third officer up. So generally what the armed services does is the first, whether you're an ensign or second lieutenant, that's like a 2-year time period. And then the next rank, the 02 rank, which is the first lieutenant in the Air Force, that'd be 2 years. And then you get to captain, and that's like a 6 to 8 year stint. So you could be, say you get commissioned at about 22, you know, graduate high school at 18, graduate college at 22, you go directly into the military as the second lieutenant. So you could be a 32-year-old captain. So that's your window. That's your age window for a captain is between 26 and 32-ish or 34. So there you go.
Okay.
Anyway, so that is the big news. We will continue to talk about the MCU as it unfolds in front of us.
A couple more little rumor. Well, one's a little rumor. So we said Hulk might be in Thor Ragnarok. The other rumor is that the Valkyries are going to show up in Thor Ragnarok.
Tell me about the Valkyries. Tell me about the Valkyries.
Well, it's just the same as in Norse mythology. They escort those that have fallen in battle to Valhalla.
Ah,
so Valhalla. They're just kind of the female warriors of Odin.
And we will let Lauren, when she comes back next week, assuming she's coming back next week, assuming that Fitz and Simmons can pull her back from the Phantom Zone, we will let Lauren have her say on this because she's definitely going to have a say. Absolutely.
And then James Gunn did a live Q&A on Facebook.
Sweet.
He talked a little bit about what we can expect in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Does he have the mixtape done?
I don't know. I didn't watch the whole interview. I just read somebody's write-up about it.
Okay.
But he did say that they're going to start shooting in February, and they've almost wrapped up casting.
Okay.
And Nebula is an important character in the film, so I think we can expect to see Karen Gillan again.
With her shaved head.
That's right.
Much to her chagrin.
He would not comment on whether or not we're going to see Adam Warlock.
Okay.
He did also say that he wants to keep it with Quill being the human there, and then everyone else being aliens.
Did he say anything about Quill's father?
I don't see any specific notes on that in here. He might have, though.
Okay. I'm curious about that for some reason. And of course, I want to see Rocket and Groot again. So.
Right. And it looks like it's still going to be Baby Groot.
Yeah. Well, in the comic segment, we heard Neil just talk about Baby Groot kicking butt. So can't wait to see that on camera.
Yeah.
All right. So we got some love on Twitter from at Kodiak GWC, who threw us a news story at the last minute about X-Men on TV.
Right. The rumors have been turning for a while now that we're going to see a live-action X-Men show. Apparently, we might see two. There's going to be a show called Legion on FX, and Hellfire is going to be on Fox. So, Hellfire is going to be about the Hellfire Club. It's going to be set in the 60s.
And it will last 6 episodes.
The same Hellfire Club we saw in X-Men First Class.
See, at least FX. FX is like the AMC of Fox, right? So, you have shows that last, like The Americans. So good. It's on FX. Mm-hmm. And I... Just, Fox, they screwed up Minority Report. Did you hear Minority Report had its season order cut?
No, I haven't started watching it yet. That was one of the shows I was going to wait and see.
Yeah, don't. It was, I saw like bits and pieces, like the first 20 minutes, and I was like, no, this show's not for me. And it was just disappointing because a lot of people like the concept, a lot of people like the movie. But anything on Fox, if it's coming out on Fox, I'm waiting. I am not watching it. Fox has proven me wrong over and over again.
Well, and then the other show, Legion, is going to be about Charles Xavier's son, David Haller.
That'll watch.
Yeah. FX has done good stuff. It looks like the showrunner is going to be Noah Hawley, who has done Fargo, or he's going to be a producer at least.
Okay. Is this like a mid-season replacement, a summer show, or a next fall show?
They haven't said. Both of these shows are still in development. I would imagine the FX show is going to be probably a 13-episode run. That's what they tend to do, is the shorter run seasons. And they don't necessarily put them during the regular television seasons. Sometimes mm-hmm. they do summer shows.
Mm-hmm. And some summer shows do phenomenal, too. I mean, mm-hmm. just depends. All right. So we have that to look forward to. And then just a little note. This is two no-names getting together. Stan Lee and Bill Shatner.
Yeah. The only thing we know so far is that they're going to do a project together. And they're going to announce that project at Kamikaze 2015. Which is like a Comic-Con kind of event in Los Angeles. It'll be October 30th to November 1st. So we won't know what they're doing together until that announcement, but that could be interesting.
Absolutely. And of course, we all know that William Shatner is an author as well as being Captain Kirk and everything else that he's done. Tech Wars, right?
Sure.
Sure. Haley doesn't know. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, he's an author and he created his own sci-fi universe and it was all great. All right. So any more news? Got anything left in the tank, Haley?
I just realized we haven't done a Dub Smash War update in a while.
Oh, what do we got? What's the totals up
to? Well, Team Carter is at $61,147. They're benefiting Stomp Out Bullying.
All right.
And Team Shield is up to $65,402.
Ooh. How many videos do both have?
They both have put up their round three videos now.
Okay. So Shield is winning.
Yes.
Okay.
So Team Carter, for their third video, did Everything is Awesome from the Lego Movie. Awesome. And Team Shield did I've Got the Power.
So.
And both of them did huge group singing, dancing numbers.
I got to go back to see it. So the Lego Movie, we were talking about that a few weeks ago about how, what's her name, played Wonder Woman, Kobe.
Kobe Smulders.
Yeah, played Wonder Woman. So on one Saturday, it was just on like FX or something, or it was Movies on Demand. And so I put it on the background. And yes, for the next week, I was singing, Everything is Awesome. It was just so bad. All right. So we had that. Is there anything left in the tank, Haley?
I think that's all the news that's unfit to print.
This week on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're going to get to feedback here. We got lots of Twitter love this week. We just want to say thank you to everybody who tweets with us. Lauren did live tweet the episode last night. It was great. We got some great Wi-Fi connection with the Phantom Zone. It was fun. And she wants to say thank you to everybody for live tweeting with her. That is at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. and is during the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. East Coast and Central time zone premieres. Okay. So we have some news from Cajun Sean. He had entered into the giveaway and he said, give Coulson a destroyer hand, which pretty much what I said during the last podcast. So good try, Cajun Sean. Good try. And then Richard at Kodiak GWC tweeted us, the doctor knows everything. And it was, did you see this picture?
Yeah, super creepy.
Very. The purple man is.
Did you watch the little teaser? Because that was in the teaser, that image.
I know, but just I'm looking at the picture in the show notes going, it's not changing. It's there. It's not moving. Okay.
Just staring at you.
It is. I'm going to scroll down now. And then, of course, we had the Ant-Man sequel and the Marvel Cinematic Phase 3 update by Richard. Thank you very much, sir. And Adam Nelson said, big news about Marvel's Smallest Heroes. So he also got us the Ant-Man and the Wasp. And basically, a lot of the trailers. So thank you guys very much for all the trailers. Andy Migna tweeted us and he said, always much fun. Did you see Andy's little thing that he sent us?
The video?
Yeah.
I'm looking now. Oh, it's a How It Should Have Ended. I usually like those. I don't have time to watch it right now because I'm recording a podcast, but I will.
It'll be in the show notes. It's Ant-Man, How Ant-Man Should Have Ended. It's pretty cool. Okay. And at Mr. Paracletes on Twitter said, here's his crazy theory, right? So the mystery planet has flora, but no fauna. But Simmons was being attacked. Does this mean hostile Groots?
That would be cool.
Hostile Groots. Yeah. Yeah.
Or have you watched Farscape yet?
No, not all of it. I've watched the pilot.
But one of the major characters in that is a plant-based sentient life form.
Nice. Okay.
So.
I'll have to go see that. It's 5 feet behind me.
Get on it. Jeez.
I was releasing 14 podcasts over the weekend. Give me a break.
Like, that's hard.
Let's see you do it. So, at Mr. Paraclete said, speaking of Angry Groots, Coulson should get a Stark-style hand with a repulsor beam and jets to let it fly like in Iron Man 3, which I believe I also mentioned in the last podcast. So, yeah, it was good.
It would be cool.
It would be cool.
But he's too much of a Cap fanboy to take Stark's side and get repulsors.
Yeah. All right. So, any more feedback?
I think pretty much everything else was just people sharing news links for us. And so, which thank you for all that.
Yes, thank you very much for all that. You never know how much time we have to put together a new segment. Now, we heard him before, Mr. Black Adam. He gave us a comic book segment on his S.H.I.E.L.D. mission report. He also called in with his take on the S.H.I.E.L.D. episode.
Hey guys, this is Adam with my feedback on this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, after the last couple episodes, this one kind of felt like a step backwards, but not necessarily in a bad way. More like just setting the stage for the rest of at least this half of the season. The Simmons stuff was well done, but I wasn't as fond of the whole Lincoln chase stuff. I mean, there were some good scenes in there, but it just didn't grab me the same way that the first couple of episodes did. Coulson being so willing to work with the other guys after they threatened Daisy really seems a bit out of character. I mean, his explanation for why he chose to is decent, but it feels like there's more to it than what we're seeing so far. Kind of think they overdid it a bit with Hunter getting the crap kicked out of him, but I saw exactly where the May scene was going as soon as those two guys came up to her. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Adam, thank you very much. Something that we didn't really talk about. Yeah, the whole Lincoln on the run thing, it was probably the weakest part of the episode, although it intertwined the whole Daisy story. So, and then the whole thing between Coulson and Rosalind was because of it. So, yeah, the Lincoln on the run. Although it was cool, the CGI with him taking out the power grid there to make his escape with the raining electrical particles. That was pretty cool. And when he,
that was awesome.
And when he supercharged the Act Two guys in the apartment and then left the carpet all scored and everything, that was pretty cool too. Although him killing John was not cool. Not
it
cool.
was an accident.
Not cool.
These things happen.
All right. Thank you very much, Adam, for your feedback. You ready to walk this one out?
Let's go.
Woohoo! We're about done. We're about out of here. We had a lot of fun this week. Stay tuned after the credits. We will unlock the seat. You can join us and give us your take. Next week, we're going to discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3, Episode 4, Devils You Know. Hey, just a reminder, we have a website, legendsofshield.com. We have a voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1, 844-843-2871. And no, I am not changing the voicemail. Zephyr 1, no, the bus. It's always going to be the bus to me. We have a Facebook page, Twitter page, Tumblr page, YouTube account. Search for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. You will find us. And don't forget our forums on the Gunna Geek Network. And you can find them at forums.gunnageek.com or search Gunna Geek on your Tapatalk app. So thank you very much for all the tweets. Thank you very much for all the feedback. Thank you to Neil and Adam for your comic book segments. We really appreciate that. And Lauren, we hope you feel good and are able to get back to us from the Phantom Zone next week.
Yeah, and thank you for everybody that's entering our contests. Don't forget, we've got another contest coming up. You've got to let us know what you think would make a good Marvel Crate theme. So I've got some thoughts about what might be entertaining, but I would love to hear what yours are. And we will do that one in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
So get us your input by the time we record episode 96.
Absolutely. Hey, I had a lot of fun this week. Did you have a lot of fun?
I always have fun.
All right. Stay tuned for after the credits. We will bring in people from the audience. Until next time, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Agent Haley.
See you guys next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com and you will find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.
I will ask Adam. Adam, am I echoing?
Don't tell us what to do. You're not the boss of us.
Yeah, Steven, you have to have two windows up that are...
Maybe he just always hears a second SP in his head.
That was my first thought, too. And I do like how everybody on the network, everybody, even Willie, ATGN, Gunna Geek, everybody calls Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Wing, Operator, and Beef came up with one hell of a name. And there is another podcast on the Alpha Geek Radio, by the way, called Legends of Gotham.
I heard, because I remember Lobster was complaining about it. It's like they totally sniped the name I was going to use. Wing should sue.
I'm going to go live on Mixer when I get it up. I had to shut it off.
You have trouble getting it up?
There's a little pill for that. Damn you.
You know, the worst part about having Adam and Steven talk all that time is that now we can't see the naked woman on the side.
We're going to talk about Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're going to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., a wanted Inhuman. What are we going to do to give this sucker away, Haley?
Oh, hey, more naked girls. What could we do?
All right, so the seat is unlocked. If you have anything to say about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you know, the big announcement of the shakeup of the MCU this week, you know, we have an open seat. You can come on in, Suncast. You're welcome to come on in, as always, buddy. Adam, welcome to come in, Sean. You're welcome to come in as long as you don't spoil anything, because that was not cool last week. If you didn't notice in the release podcast, I edited that out. So don't spoil anything on other shows. It's okay. It wasn't that.
It's okay one time. If it happens again, we'll bring in the Gunna Geek snipers.
It's not going to happen. All right. So we had fun tonight talking about this. We do miss Lauren. I mentioned it a couple times during the podcast. She is definitely going to be coming back as soon as she can. We expected her back tonight, actually, and just didn't happen. So we're hoping to get her back next week. Daredevil. Okay. So, Adam, when you said Daredevil crossover next week, are you talking about like the two?
The name of the episode is Devils You Know.
Oh, there you go. Well, they are part of the same universe. So I wonder if any of those characters. Okay. Question for you, Haley. How would you like the crossover between the Netflix series and the TV series, which right now is just Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I don't know how they would do it with Daredevil necessarily. I could see them with like Jessica Jones and some of the others that are more obviously superpowered, you know, it being part of the Registration Act as that comes open, comes up. I guess the same thing could happen with Daredevil if they think he's superpowered, or just they could be like, oh, all masked vigilantes, we need to know who you are and what you can do.
Yeah, if you're unknown, come out from the shadows.
Yep.
All right. Well, would it make sense to cross over with Netflix rather than... Well, Suncast, the Marvel universe is all one universe. Even the comics are supposed to be in the same universe. They're just in a different multiverse. But so the TV shows, the Netflix shows, and the MCU, it's all one. And so you could have crossover back and forth. Matter of fact, Coulson was from the movie universe, came back. So last week, Kaylee and I banted back and forth of when Coulson was going to go back into the MCU, because they had an idea of when it was going to happen. It was never going to happen in a Joss Whedon movie, because he killed him off and that was it. He never wanted him back. That death had to mean something to Joss, and Coulson was always going to be dead. But Haley brought up the fact last week that she sees Coulson coming back in Civil War. And I kind of see that. See this.
I think it makes sense.
I said it during the podcast. I think this is going to be a heck of a crossover between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Civil War. I don't think it can't be.
I think it would probably be easier for them to cross over with the Netflix shows, just as far as scheduling and the cost of the actors involved, that it's more realistic to have those crossovers. But I don't even think that's going to happen a lot. I think the Netflix shows are going to interact together a lot, but I don't know that it's going to interact a lot with the regular TV shows.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be crossover points. But Coulson, what, see, the thing with Coulson, not Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but with Coulson, is he was from the MCU. So it would be bringing
him
back.
He's got to go back at some point so that they know he's there. We did have that. I don't think it was ever firm, but it was a rumor that there was going to be a second wave of Netflix shows, and Deathlok was one of those. So I could see that one interacting more with the TV show.
Now, Deathlok has come back in the comics as well, in the S.H.I.E.L.D. comics, as Adam pointed out last week. So I think we're due for a Deathlok comeback in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's just a question of when. That would be a good mid-season finale for Deathlok to come back about that time.
Yeah.
Here we go, Cajun Sean. You beat it just under the wire, sir. No spoilers.
Okay, no spoilers. No spoilers.
All right. What do you got?
With the announcement of Ant-Man and the Wasp,
they
also announced three untitled movies that I got at. Any speculation on what they would be?
At this point, I think they probably don't even know. They're just like, hey, this is our spot. Nobody else can sit here. Can't sit here. Maybe a sequel to one of these other movies. It'll probably depend on performance. So, you know, we could see another Captain America sequel, another Thor sequel, another Guardians of the Galaxy, or we could see a sequel to one of the newer ones, you know, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, maybe a Black Widow.
I think more so than anything else, they're just parking the dates because not only do you have competition with DC, but you have competition within Disney Corporation itself. So they want to kind of space out the movies between Star Wars, because Star Wars is, it's not just the main films. You have secondary films going on there too, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're just trying to space everything out. And with this much money at stake, you're talking about multiple $3 billion different franchises. So you've got Star Wars, you've got Marvel, and you've got, what's the other one? Pixar too, right?
Right.
So you've got,
well, with Lucasfilm, you also own Indiana Jones.
Right, if they bring it back, yeah. So but those are the main three moneymakers that they've had, and they continue to try to get as much as they want, as they can as well. But there's only so much entertainment dollars that are available. And you have to, the big places where people go to the movies are strategically placed throughout the year. I'm telling you, January, February is not generally a place that people go to the movies. So I understand why they put Black Panther in as a February release, but it's usually where movies go to die, January, February.
Yeah, so. And that's where they moved Captain Marvel to March.
Yeah, because they want to deconflict with the big May release of Infinity Wars. So I don't know.
Well, no, it was in November, and they didn't put another movie in November, I don't think.
Probably because they're deconflicting with some Star Wars or something else going on. Yeah. So that's why those three dates are there. Marvel is putting their stake in the sand saying these are our dates of whatever
work
movies
around
that us. So.
Any properties you want to see?
There's a lot, actually.
Because I was thinking about it earlier. Three titles I think would work for the slates. Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
James Gunn said he wants to do the Thunderbolts.
Okay.
And what was the third one I had thought of?
So
a Blade reboot.
Blade would be cool, yeah. So the problem I have with Black Widow is that it would have to be recast in the 2020 timeframe. I don't think she could really pull off the character for 15 years like that.
Yeah, she can. ScarJo forever.
Well, at some point in time, we're going to get a new Iron Man, too. So, I mean,
I don't think they should do that. I think they should let that hero retire. If they're going to keep a continuous universe going, don't recast the role like that. Just if it reaches the point, just be like, yeah, that superhero got old. He had to retire. So that's why we've got all these new heroes.
But then you have people like Steve Rogers that just continually hang on. So Chris Evans is, you know, I don't think he can do it forever.
Yeah, but other people have been Captain America besides Steve Rogers. So he could pass the mantle.
Let Rhodey take over.
Well, of course, that's going to happen. But Steve Rogers does come back, right? He comes back as a D super soldier, And
right. Well, how long do you realistically think they'll be able to keep this continuous franchise going?
Till 2019.
At least through the end of this phase.
Yeah.
If they can continually make a little bit of money for the big budget films, like say they budget $200 million and they make $250, $300, something like that. And
if that's they perform with, as well as Ant-Man.
Yeah. I think you've got something that will continue. But you're going to run out of characters and you're going to run out of
people. Have you seen the Marvel Wiki? I don't think they're going to run out of characters.
Characters that people care about and want to see.
There are characters that people care a lot about that we haven't seen. There's all of the Marvel UK stuff. We haven't seen any of that.
I'm going to go back to Star Trek because the rebooted Star Trek had 7 years of TNG, then 7 years of Voyager, 7 years of DS9, some concurrently, so it wasn't all whatever. And then 4 years.
5 years of Enterprise?
Yeah, something like that. But it was like 21 continuous years. And at the end, it just fell off the plate. People could care less about it at that point in time. Even me, who's a big Star Trek fan, was like...
Fans were getting burned out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
especially if we're going to have 8 Netflix shows going. 2 or 3 TV shows.
So, Iron Man came out in 2008. You pull that forward 20 years and you're at 2028. So, I think somewhere around 2025, you're going to see an apathy level. But that's just me.
It could be sooner than that, depending on what the other studios do as well.
It could. And Suncast brought up in the chat, I question how many good movies can they realistic produce. I don't anymore, because there's enough great information out there, and then there's this production machine, and then you've got Big Brother Disney watching over everything, so I don't know.
I think this year's movies were significantly weaker than last year's movies, because last year we got Winter Soldier and we got Guardians of the Galaxy, which were both phenomenal. And this year we got Avengers 2 and Ant-Man, which I do not think were in the top half of Marvel movies.
No, but you had the controversy.
Ant-Man was better than Avengers.
You had the controversy between Joss and Kevin and the creative staff on Avengers. And then for Ant-Man, you had the change in the production team with Edgar Wright getting booted out. And we're not going to see that again. It's going to be a continual writing staff.
Mm. Speaking of which, I better pre-order my Ant-Man Blu-ray. If I can, while I'm thinking about it, because I forgot to do that with the Ultron.
The Jurassic World DVD Blu-ray is out for pre-order on Amazon now, too. By the way,
did they put a release date for the Ant-Man Blu-ray?
I'm looking right now. I don't see one, but you can pre-order it.
Yeah, I have it in my wish list on Amazon. I just wondered if they added a pre-order date yet.
So, Suncast, you wrote you agree with Haley. I didn't catch that until well after. What specifically?
As well, you should.
There's been a lot of agreeing with Haley here tonight, so that's why we have her on the podcast. SP is always wrong.
Right.
All right, Sean, what else you got, buddy?
Not much. There wasn't really much in this episode for me to really bring up.
I like the car.
Yeah, the car was awesome.
What would you name the car?
Well, you saw it in the chat. I named it
say,
Luke.
Go ahead. Say it. What, Luke?
Name it Luke.
Luke and Lola. All right. Well, thanks very much for coming on, as always, and thanks for not spoiling Arrow or Flash this week. We really appreciate that.
Oh, no. I ain't going to do that again.
Okay. Learned his lesson.